The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. He's kind of wearing a stripy shirt and sitting on a stripy couch. It's Professor Stephen Manning.
Good description.
Yeah, well, you know, lots of books in the background. It's totally academic. You know, this is the real deal here.
Yep. Delivered by Amazon in 2 days.
Yep.
I can't help myself. You're a political scientist. I know your expertise from my memory is actually Eastern philosophies, China in particular, but another fantastic day for the Select Committee yesterday, Stephen. Any comments?
I agree. Another fantastic day. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the subpoena.
Exactly. Oh, he won't. He'll refuse it.
Of
and
course.
Then it's just a question of what they're going to do. There'll be a vote on the floor of the House, I think.
Really? Probably. Really, Pat? I didn't think that he would ignore it. Really? That surprises
me. No, why would I think that?
I don't know. So, Stephen, what were you going to say?
Although he's claimed he's claimed in negotiations, he wants to, if he appears before the committee, he wants to do it live. And they haven't offered that to anybody else who has sat there. They've always done the interviews before that. Even if they appeared later in person live, they've always had pre-interview things. So everybody knew what was going on.
He might accept and then just show up and say whatever he wants to.
These 30 or 31 people who have pleaded the fifth, I mean, that's on good advice from their attorneys.
Sure.
Because anything they say, they're liable to perjure themselves,
right?
Which is a federal crime if you perjure yourself in front of a congressional committee. So it's frustrating, but it's smart lawyerly advice to be told, just keep saying the fifth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his lawyers just must want to commit suicide. I'm sure that if he actually went before Congress and testified, that would be it. That would be their last straw. I mean, he would incriminate himself, or more likely, he would perjure himself.
Right, right, exactly. So, wow, that was way more than I bargained for, even though it is quite interesting. I really did appreciate the CNN headline this morning. This thing points to all the Select Committee stuff. Not actually the worst thing that happened to this guy today. I was like, well, that's kind of a cool headline. Let's continue around the horn and we can switch gears a little bit. Professor Mara Livesey is with us. You were nodding before, so I'm guessing you're caught up on Rings of Power. You're in the middle of it.
Yes, I'm finally caught up on Rings of Power, and I am so pumped because we're starting to see very clearly like how these are the prequel episodes mm-hmm. to the Fellowship. And it's just like, ooh, every episode is more interesting.
I find that if I throw a bit or piece into my class meetings, that you see the ears perk up almost literally of the Tolkien fans in the crowd. So it's actually kind of an easy way to vet your students. And I've got a couple students that are foaming at the mouth, considering tonight or today is the very last episode of this part of the series. So,
yeah,
fun stuff, fun stuff.
I think I would have been very daunted to try to add anything to Tolkien.
Yes, except for then you sort of get the preview, Jim, and it's basically 10,000 years before anything that we would have originally seen. So they've got a little bit of wiggle room.
Oh, that's 10,000 years is enough time to kind of.
Professor Beth Oljar, you always have the best suggestions for streaming. What are you in the middle of right now?
We're watching the Discovery of Witches series for probably the fifth or sixth time.
That's awesome.
Mara's starting, I guess you're starting the second book or ready to start the second book in the series. So,
yep.
And we rewatch The Crown because, of course, November 9th is when we get the first episode of season 5.
Very cool.
So
it's all coming up. There's always a lot of stuff happening all at once.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Rings of Power, I'd be getting washed with a wet noodle over not seeing all this new Star Wars that's been out recently. But I think that's going to have to wait until we finish a couple other things. It's good to have good things to watch.
We kind of have run out of shows, actually.
Sure. Well, that's when you start rewatching the ones you really like. Exactly.
We do that quite a bit. I would not want to tell you the number of times we've watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel all the way through.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know that Professor Aaron Bell is at a conference right now. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what the conference is about, broadly, teaching and learning, I would guess.
Yeah, it's been really great. I've enjoyed this conference. It's the first time back after a big panda, as we say. There's been a lot. Actually, I did sit in on a session relating to the Society of Professors of Philosophy. So that was kind of interesting. And they were talking about how they have a teaching hub at every conference, because sometimes teaching kind of takes backstage at those academic conferences of the discipline. So that was a good one. We also had a keynote about using this beloved device in class a little more mindfully. So that was kind of neat too. Seeing some good spec grading and alternative grading strategies. So just hoping I can bring a lot of that back to our Detroit Mercy community and share it out with faculty. I'm pretty pumped. I've had a lot of coffee today, not gonna lie. So,
if there's an alternative grading strategy that gets me out of doing it, I would really be interested in that.
Yeah, be surprised what's out there, Beth.
Haven't gotten that far yet, but making a little
easier. That will grade papers for me. That would be super.
That would be awesome.
And we won't have jobs, though.
Continuing around the horn, Professor Heather Hill is here. How's it going, Heather?
I'm pumped. I got
Baby Yoda.
Grogu. Even I know his name is Grogu.
That's so cute. Where did you get that?
Olivia made it.
Oh, it's a
good for her.
She has an Etsy shop.
No way.
That is super cool.
Oh,
you can custom crochet things made.
Oh my gosh, that is classy stuff. I'm gonna find that Etsy shop when we're done here today. Holy smokes. Yep. That is so cool.
Another toy for the dog.
No, uh-oh. Actually, everybody be quiet. I'm actually gonna give this to Shao Lan.
Oh.
Because people give her
Yoda stuff.
So
that's cool.
Saw that Olivia was making these, and I got one for her.
That is super duper cool.
Even though I'm kind of falling in love with it,
Yoda is the coolest character ever.
Yep. So much mystery surrounding Grogu.
So yeah, I guess I can advertise her Etsy shop on Ask the Professor.
That's cool. Neat.
I can't remember the name of it.
I was going to say, what's the name?
Oh, boy.
He searches.
It's okay. She's going to look it up. I'll turn the corner.
Eight or something. I don't know.
Okay. We'll find it.
I'll put it in the chat.
There we go.
There we go.
And so all the listeners will listen for the chat.
The dog is right here and does seem very interested. So I'm going to put Baby Yoda up here.
Uh-oh. Professor Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
So what did you get when you went to the 7-Eleven? Seriously.
Just a bag of chips, okay. Gatorade, roll of Mentos, as my usual.
All right.
You do know that, Gatorade and Mentos are my secret for staying up late.
Really?
Yes. I learned this from my mom eons ago. She used to play Mahjong till the cows came home. And she always said, stay hydrated, but don't do caffeine because you're going to do the ups and downs. Don't do a lot of sugar and keep something in your mouth because you're not, you're prone to stay awake and not fall asleep and have a choking hazard.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
So it's worked.
It works for Mahjong and late night art, apparently. Yep. That's awesome.
It does. So far, so good.
Very cool. Professor Jim Tubbs is also here with us, last but not least.
Hello, and I am fascinated to learn the secrets of late night art.
No one calls, no emails that, if you don't want to deal with it, it's nice and quiet.
Well, I'm thinking of the Mentos angle. That sounds good.
Just to chew and nosh on something, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're chewy. They're nice and chewy.
And they are the fresh maker, last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody unexpectedly stopped by Dave's house, everything is totally fresh.
Yes.
Oh, you were talking earlier about things being streamed this week.
Yeah.
I just watched, on the advice of the New York Times, I just watched Dairy Girls, and it was delightful. Absolutely delightful.
What is it?
It's an Irish show about these, right? about
yes, these four Catholic girls and one boy living in Derry, but having to go back across the border to go to Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And it's about coming of age and dealing with the troubles at the same time. It's set in the early 90s, but it is a delightful show.
You know, they actually had an episode of the Great British Baking Show with some of the characters, some of the actors actually from Derry Girls competing. Oh. It was really funny.
Very cool.
Well, my advice is to turn on the captioning in English when you watch it, because there are so many figures of speech that will fly right by.
Or the accents have got to be unreal, right?
Yes. That's
I've right. got Drew for the accents, and it doesn't matter whether it's English or Scottish or Irish.
Okay.
He can always, you know, decipher them immediately. So.
Right. Exactly.
He's so handy that way.
That's great.
Well, professors, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. And listeners, if you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. I love it. Dear profs, once again, your podcasts keep me entertained on my drive from Detroit all the way back to the UP. Hearing you all riff about Casablanca and Bogey, I was inspired to come up with some more movie questions. Some of these films go all the way back to the 30s. Many are more recent. They run the gamut from kitsch to cult to mainstream, and every one of them has the name of a city in its title. I'm giving you the plot. You guess the title. 9 out of 12 is passing. Straight up, there's the scale. Have fun. Our very, very good friend, Marilyn Bachorik from Munising in the very, very cold Upper Peninsula, where it's already been 10 days since they had their first snow this fall.
She's my fellow Nero Wolf addict.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. All right. So you remember, we have no idea in which direction, in which year these movies are coming from, but I'll give you a summary of the movie, and there is a city in the title. NBA referee Mickey and his wife Ellen struggle to keep their marriage going in spite of conflicting job demands. The story is told by their friends who are waiting for Mickey to meet them for dinner, and we wonder if Ellen will join them as well.
This was the Billy Crystal movie, wasn't it?
It is a Billy Crystal movie, yes.
I remember we had this something along those lines a while back. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Sleepless in Seattle.
So it was from 1995, and it also starred Deborah Winger and one of my all-time favorites, Joe Mantegna.
Oh, yeah.
Fat Tony himself.
Fat Tony, yes.
Oh, Jim, we've had this before.
It's got a city in the title.
Yeah. Not the fish, you know, not the fish that ate, you know, in Pittsburgh. What's that other one? hold on. Think.
Well, it looks to me like you're having a problem remembering this title.
Recall? Remember? Oh, God.
If I tell you the name of the city, it probably will give it away, but it seems like we're struggling a bit. The city is Paris.
Forget Paris?
Oh,
Forget Paris is the name of the movie. There we go. Nice work, Heather. Nice work. Billy Crystal, Deborah Winger, and Joe Mantegna. That's right. The owner of a South American hotel can't get a music license for his grand opening and might lose everything. The band he hired solves the problem by putting a musical air show on. Wow. And dancing girls on the wings of low-flying planes.
Oh, something in Rio.
Flying over Rio.
Flying down to Rio.
Flying down to Rio.
Well, isn't that one starring Dolores Del Rio?
It stars Dolores Del Rio, Jean Raymond.
And Fred Astaire.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. 1933. That was a good year.
Never saw it.
Oh. Well, unless you were in Germany, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. I just, whenever I get any four-digit change, Beth, when I'm buying something at the store, I always say it's a good year. It doesn't matter if it's like 42.50 or what. Oh, that was a good year, you know. I reckon using the Jewish calendar. I mean, come on, the Byzantine calendar. That's the way to go.
As opposed to the Mayan calendar.
Right.
Or the Gregorian one.
Well, the Mayan calendar's already stopped.
Did it? Oh, that's right. 2012. I forgot about that.
Whoops.
During World War II, a submarine sneaks into a Japanese harbor and places a team of spies on shore so they can provide info for bombing raids. Dun, dun, dun.
Something about Tokyo. Destination Tokyo?
Destination Tokyo. That's right. Very good. Cary Grant, John Garfield, and our good friend Alan Hale. I know whenever I bring him up.
Senior.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Dave gets excited. Yep, exactly. Law professor, who comes up with these names? John Bottomley leads a task force to apprehend the killer who's terrorizing women. There are 13 victims before the murderer is apprehended. It's a very...
Something in London, I'm assuming.
No, it's a classic from 1968. Oh. It starred Tony Curtis and Henry Fonda.
Boston Strangler?
The Boston Strangler. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my mind just went Boston Cooler there for a moment. We get thirsty, so
everything with the food, I swear. It's just it actually begs the question, Dave, because it's been a while since someone's mentioned a Boston Cooler. That's a decidedly Detroit dessert. We have no real way of understanding how Boston got into the name, but I wonder if there are enough things like that that someone could send a question set of things named after obvious things that have nothing to do with what they're named after.
How did Coney Dog ever catch
on? Yeah, I was going to say Coney, yeah.
Well, that's a no-brainer because we had so many people from Northern New York resettle in this area. They remember Coney Island, so okay. Yeah.
Well, what's a Boston Cooler?
It's Werner's mixed with vanilla ice cream.
And delicious.
It's delicious. Annie hears a man on the radio talk about missing his wife and becomes obsessed with him.
Sleepless in Seattle.
That didn't take very long.
That was fast.
Rosie O'Donnell, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, 1993. Yes. She comes so obsessed with him, breaks off her own engagement. That's one sentence summaries of movies. That's great.
To Bill Pullman, I think it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
It's just a milk toast enough to be the husband that gets left at the altar. Yeah, that sounds about right. Carol becomes suspicious of her neighbor when he seems too happy after his wife suddenly dies. But she can't convince her husband anything's wrong. She ends up investigating, and eventually they get in over their heads because it turns out she was right.
Ooh. Is this Rear Window? No,
this is 1993.
Sorry, we need a city.
Jack Nicholson and Shirley MacLaine. No,
no. It says here it's a 1993. Diane Keaton and the
Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Manhattan Murder Mystery. Ah. Yeah, that's right. Woody Allen movie. Woody Allen movie. I can't help myself with all these scary movies on the air. I got sucked in, which is night after worst a long day Halloween to movie Halloween of all time. 3. But it's perfect, Kish, and it's totally watchable because it's so crazy. And my wife is on other movies that these actors have been in.
Wikipedia.
And the lead female had been in Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Hey, Matt, have you seen Werewolf by Night yet?
Have not checked it out yet, but it's on the to-do list.
I was going to say the new Halloween movie is not getting the best of reviews.
This is Halloween Ends, right?
Halloween Ends.
Yeah, yes.
So presumably she kills Laurie or Michael has to kill her.
I don't know. I just
don't spoil the ending.
I haven't seen it yet.
This just in, somebody dies. It's pretty safe.
In the preview, she looks pretty determined to get rid of him.
The first two Halloweens are actually good. I mean, the first one is great, and I thought the second was a not too bad follow-up.
No, it's true. By the time number 3 comes, the producers had decided it was going to be an anthology series,
right,
with no connection to Michael Myers, and every movie would just take place on Halloween. Halloween 3, sorry to spoil it for you.
Season of the Witch.
Yes, the Season of the Witch. There is no witch is about. Is about a crazy old Irishman who ships a piece of Stonehenge back to America, uses it to conjure magic in his Halloween masks, and then when kids wear their masks and watch the commercial for his product, their heads explode. Basically, that's the whole movie.
What a stellar plot.
And let me tell you, I'm reading the summary off of Wikipedia, and Leslie's laughing so hard because the protagonists, male and female, they are emergency room doctors who just so happen to have like observed some of this offshoot and suddenly just leave their jobs and to go murder mystery style and try to find where these masks are coming from. And of course, the lead male is in a failed marriage and he's an alcoholic. It's just every trope you can imagine shoved into the same movie.
Oh,
can't help myself. It's great. But good kitschy cult movie people know what I mean. I cannot replicate it here. That the jingle in the commercial that makes the stuff activate is a very, very catchy jingle. I will not utter it here. You'll have to look it up online.
Okay.
Reuben comes from a family of macho hunters, but has never bagged a buck of his own. When the opportunity arises, we wonder if he'll have the guts to pull the trigger.
Reuben.
2001. Stars Harvey Presnell and our good friend Jeff Daniels.
Escanaba
in the Moonlight. That's right. Yeah, very well done. First a play, then a movie.
Sorry, I mean, the only Reuben I can think of are Sandwiches and Partridge Family. So,
well, only one of those was food.
Reuben Kincaid. I was wanting to watch the Partridge Family again.
You and your David Cassidy obsession, right?
Well, yeah. I liked the show when I was a kid. You know, Friday nights, there was Nanny and the Professor, Brady Bunch, Partridge Family.
Yep, right in a row.
It was awesome.
Speaking of my wife, this is definitely one of her favorite movies from her teenage years. If they can be the first to survive a 25th mission over Germany, this flight crew can finally. I'm guessing that she enjoyed Matthew Modine and Eric Stoltz in the movie.
It was a good movie.
Yep. Now, when I think of Matthew Modine, all I think about is Stranger Things, but that's a totally different story. To bring some publicity and revenue to their small town, an amateur hockey team accepts a challenge to play the New York Rangers on national TV.
Mystery Alaska. It's one of our favorites. We own it.
That is a great movie. Russell Crowe, Hank Azaria, Mary McCormick.
It's a great movie.
Tracy's all set to marry the perfect, if somewhat boring, man when her ex-husband shows up.
Philadelphia Story.
Yep, that's an absolute classic. Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart.
And its remake, High Society.
That's right.
The musical version.
Mm-hmm. This is absolutely spectacular, off the charts. Didn't even notice till right now because it doesn't have a number next to it. Bonus question for the professors. What's the name of the remake? That's great. High Society, 1957, by the way. Oh. An unsuccessful vacuum cleaner salesman is recruited by the British Secret Service to set up a spy network.
Our man in Havana.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, he realizes the government's enemies are out to kill him. Our man in Havana, starring everyone's favorites, Maureen O'Hara, Burl Ives, and Obi-Wan himself, Alec Guinness.
Who sells vacuum cleaners like that anymore?
Yeah, that was a Graham Greene novel.
It was a Graham Greene novel? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Our man in Havana.
Marilyn, these questions have been off the charts. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one more here. A pro basketball team is hopeless, but maybe with the help of an astrologer who tells them all their players have to be Pisces, they could become winners.
Fish that saved Pittsburgh.
The fish that saved Pittsburgh. You already made the joke about the something that ate Pittsburgh. So
it's a Jason Roach thing. That's all. I mean, you know.
That is a real movie starring Dr. J, Julius Erving, Stockard Channing, and Jonathan Winters. Oh, yep. God. Oh, and we're getting some feedback from what we used to call the Voice for God. Let's see if I can scroll appropriately without completely shutting down the Zoom. The Boston Cooler has nothing to do with Boston, and in the beginning, maybe nothing to do with Verner's. The word about town is that the Boston Cooler got its name from Detroit's Boston Boulevard and its proximity to Dr. Verner's soda fountain. That makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Hey, okay.
That's about as close as I've ever heard.
Sure.
Awesome.
That's great.
So we did the fish that saved Pittsburgh. We're all set in that category. Thanks for the questions, Marilyn. Those were awesome.
They were great.
All right. We have just enough time left to go back to the list of imponderables. There's a dog in the window. I see it.
Look at that handsome pup.
How much is that doggy in the window?
11,000 calories worth.
Speaking of calories, and the only way to even get close to beginning or ending a show with these folks, let's go back to food.
Oh, geez.
It is a well-known psychological quantity that in every one of us is an excitement that grows when you go down a certain aisle of the grocery store. What is it for you is the question.
100% the frozen foods aisle where the ice cream is.
Perfect.
Yep, ice cream for me. Yeah. That's it. I could skip the rest of the store.
I got to go walk the puppy.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see you in a few, Heather.
Yeah, bye. I'll see you later.
Bye, Heather.
Baked goods.
Baked goods like the bakery?
Yeah, the bakery aisle.
Sure.
The chip aisle.
Of course.
All the bags of chips, you know?
Yeah, and that's usually adjacent to the pop aisle too, right?
I freaked my parents out at some point when I was very, very young because I noticed in the pop aisle that Pepsi and Coke always had a very serious like Faygo barrier between them. Oh, yeah. Like they could not be next to each other. This is blue versus red. It's like the original culture war here.
It's the DMZ.
Exactly. But I have been fascinated in my older age to see just how many different kinds of brands of pop there are in between Coke and Pepsi in an aisle. It's actually pretty entertaining.
Kroger has all their own brand interspersed right in there between Coke's at one end of the aisle and Pepsi's at the other and all this other stuff in between.
Exactly. I would say pop. Oh, there's the pup getting ready to go out for a walk. What a handsome pupper. Oh, look how excited he is. Oh my gosh. How about you, Steven?
I don't know. Fresh fish.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm sure you've been to Pike Market in Seattle where they throw the fish over the counter to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
How about you, Aaron?
We forgot cheese.
Of course.
And I love even Trader Joe's. They have some of those like Stilton with a hint of ginger. Oh my God.
It's so true too. My kids, one of my three kids who's not that much into it anymore, was a big cheese fiend when he was growing up. And he had a one-on-one relationship with the cheese lady at Westbourne Market. I mean, they recognized each other. She still is there. She's still there. Oh my gosh.
You know, she's probably the one. I was in there looking at some cheese or something, probably wanted to get Gruyere. And she said, well, you know, there's this domestic one that's less expensive. And I said, well, do you recommend it? Is it any good? And she said, no.
She's that good, though.
I'm afraid, taking a look at our timer here, the time has come for us to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Bye.
Beth.
Bye.
Mara.
Bye.
And Stephen.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.